Unsung Murder Ballads discusses topics of a disturbing nature.
And we're not going to hold back on the graphic details and disturbing content.
So we do not recommend our podcast for children under the age of 13.
And while we respect the victims and their families involved in these tragic cases,
we're also going to be critical of mistakes that are made during the investigations.
And we're going to use dark humor to express ourselves now and then.
So with that said, this podcast may not be for everyone.
And that's okay. We're glad you're here checking us out.
And if you've made it this far, welcome to the Unsung Murder Ballads family. And follow us on Instagram at Unsung Murder Ballads if you want to talk to us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Unsung Murder Ballads. I am Janice Dead.
I'm Jameson Dead.
All right. So tonight we have an interesting episode. This is not a listener request or anything like that, but we have some fun stuff. So,
Okay. Yeah,
we'll just jump right in. So have you ever heard the phrase sliding into someone's DMs, as the kids these days say?
Embarrassingly, yes. Yes, I have.
Have you ever done it?
I've heard it. I'm still not quite sure what it means, so I plead the fifth on that one.
It's basically you message a stranger through their direct messages through social media. I've actually done it years ago. I met someone who is still a good friend of mine today. We dated very briefly, but I met her because I sent her a message via social media. And I think a lot of it, it's just because of the ease of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not the kind of guy who sends dick pics. That's not okay. Right? But I get the ease of it because you're not out in public. You don't have to go and talk to someone or be embarrassed if they shoot you down, especially because typically when you're out there with their friends, you're with your friends, and you don't want to get shot down like that. But, you know, messaging people through social media is easier because there's that sense of security.
Of course.
Right, which is why dating apps are so popular.
But also, double-edged sword with that, you could start to talk to somebody and then they can just decide to, what's the term, ghost?
Yes, they could ghost you. They could also be catfishing you. You may not be talking to who you think you're talking to. And for me personally, I'm not very good with dating sites and apps. Almost everyone I've ever dated, I've met in person. You know,
good for you.
Yeah, like a couple that I met through, like I said, sliding into their DMs back before it was considered gross. For the most part, it's me. I met them in person in some way, shape, or form. It's just how it goes with me because I just can't figure out how to present myself to someone through dating sites. It's just not what I can do. So with that said, the case we're going to be covering tonight is about a couple that met through social media because they started randomly messaging each other and decided to take a chance. So, here we go.
That should be interesting.
It's different. So, Ryan Carter Poston was born on December 30th, 1982, in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky, to Lisa Carter and Jay Poston. He had three younger sisters, Allison, Catherine, and Elizabeth. Ryan attended Blessed Sacrament School in Kentucky, the International School in Manila in the Philippines, and the International School of Geneva in Switzerland during his school years.
Holy crap.
Exactly. So he's not poor. Let's make sure.
No, not by any means.
Not at all. He's not. His family's not struggling. So he later attended Indiana University, where he triple majored.
Holy shit. Yeah. What?
Triple majored in history.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Triple majored in history, geography, and political science, then went to law school at Northern Kentucky University in Highland Heights.
Okay, so he has no life but school is what you're saying.
I'm saying this dude kept himself busy, yeah. So after completing his degree, Ryan began working as an attorney in Cincinnati, Ohio.
At least all of that went to something.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's good. In 2011, Ryan, who was 28 years old at the time, met 20-year-old Shayna Hubers through Facebook. Shayna was friends with Ryan's step-cousin, Carissa, and Shayna was... So we're going to talk about Shayna. Shayna was born on April 8th, 1991, in Lexington, Kentucky. She spent the first 19 years of her life obsessed with school and not boys. So they have that in common.
Yeah.
Friends of hers described Shayna as a near genius, noting that she was always taking AP classes and getting A's. Ryan sent Shayna a friend request in March of 2011 after seeing a picture she had posted of herself in a bikini. Shayna, at that point, responded. She accepted the request and kind of wrote back, "How do I know you? You're gorgeous, by the way." So before long, the Facebook messages between Shayna, who was 19, and Ryan, who was 28, transformed into in-person meetings. Ryan and Shayna began dating soon after. At the time that they began dating, Shayna was a psychology student at the University of Kentucky in Lexington, approximately 80 miles from Highland Heights, where he had gone to school. She graduated cum laude and was pursuing a master's in school counseling. So they're both really smart and really educated.
Yeah, and doing very well for themselves.
So Ryan had recently broken up with a long-term girlfriend named Lauren. Though he initially enjoyed dating Shayna casually, he soon began to lose interest and started pursuing other relationships. The couple...
Well, that's where the disaster starts.
Always where it starts, right there. The couple reportedly had a volatile relationship and broke up several times over an 18-month period. Tom Awaldala was one of Ryan's friends, and he said he just wasn't able to. He was too nice, and he didn't want to hurt her feelings in terms of breaking up with her. Another friend seconded that opinion, saying he felt duty-bound to let her down easy. So as a result, he kept going back with her, and it just kind of became an increasingly toxic relationship.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. As Ryan tried to pull away, Shayna tried to tighten her hold on him. Shayna became obsessed with him. Many of Ryan's friends believed that she had a goal from the very beginning to get him to settle down with her. Now, I don't know much about women's point of view in the modern day world about trying to land a rich husband. I'm assuming, you know, that's still kind of a thing, at least. You know, he's a good provider, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the guy's a lawyer and he's doing well. So, of course, she wants to get him to settle down. It just makes sense.
But she's living in a fantasy world.
I think she's trying to... So this is one of the problems I see with women dating sometimes, especially when they're young like that, is I think they truly believe that they can change the person. That time, like if she loves him enough, something will change. That's what I think.
It makes perfect sense. And I've seen countless situations where that's the case.
Right.
And it doesn't end well.
So when investigators looked into Ryan and Shayna's text history, they found that for every message Ryan sent, Shayna sent dozens in response. Sometimes Shayna would send as many as 50 to 100 messages in a day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's fucking scary. So Ryan told his cousin, quote, "This is getting to be restraining order level crazy. She's shown up at my condo like 3 times and refuses to leave each time," unquote. And
all right, so that's when the nice guy thing needs to stop and you need to, you know, put your foot down and protect yourself.
Exactly. Now, to a Facebook friend of his, Ryan wrote, "Shayna is literally probably the craziest fucking person I've ever met. She almost scares me."
Almost? Girl would terrify the crap out of me.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be out. But you know what? Yeah, I personally am not big into clingy people in general. So yeah, that'd have been enough for me.
I can deal with clingy, but that's like obsessive to an unhealthy degree.
Yeah, to me, clingy is where I draw the line, which is fucked up. So at one point, Shayna logged into his Facebook page and started blocking other women.
God.
Now, however, Shayna saw this relationship a little differently. So Nikki Carnes, one of Ryan's neighbors, stated that Ryan frequently made cruel comments to Shayna about her appearance. She said she believed Ryan was playing mind games with his young girlfriend. There are two sides to this.
Okay with that? Like, what?
She's taking it, at the very least. So meanwhile, Shayna's feelings towards Ryan started to turn negative. She messaged a friend claiming that her love had turned to hate and that Ryan only stayed with her because he felt bad. So she at least sees the truth here. One night, the couple went on a date to a gun range.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let's take the obsessive girl to somewhere where things can
escalate. Yeah.
Really now, bad, really quick.
What blows my mind is I've never once thought about bringing someone I was dating on a date to a gun range. It's never, never entered my mind.
Where are we in this whole situation?
In between Ohio and Kentucky, based on where they're going to school or living.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Shayna later admitted that while they were there, she actually had thought about shooting him.
Yeah, let's just come out and say that. That'll go over real well.
You know, but you know, at the same time, like, how many times have you been so frustrated with someone you'd be like, oh my God, I could have fucking shot you? You don't take it that serious.
Yeah, I guess so.
But tensions between Shayna and Ryan went to a whole other level on October 12th, 2012. Now, get this shit. Ryan had somehow arranged to go on a date with Miss Ohio.
What?
Yeah, her name was Audrey Bolt. Like, okay. Holy fuck. So, as he prepared to leave his apartment, however, Shayna showed up. They argued, and soon after, Shayna called 911 to report that she had just killed Ryan in his Highland Heights condominium.
What?
Shayna had shot Ryan 6 times.
Holy hell.
And she continually maintained that the killing was in self-defense. That night, during her interrogation, she alleged that her relationship with Ryan had been abusive, and although she was read her Miranda rights, Shayna voluntarily spoke to police.
That's gutsy.
Very stupid. From the beginning, investigators found Shayna's behavior to be bizarre. Firstly, she waited 10 to 15 minutes before calling 911 after shooting Ryan. Which,
flag number one.
Which she had claimed, you know, she had done in self-defense, but took 10 to 15 minutes to call. Once the police brought her to the station, she did not stop talking. You can watch the video on YouTube. It is, just you just want to reach through the screen and grab her and be like, shut the fuck up. Now, though Shayna asked for an attorney, and police told her that they wouldn't ask her any more questions until one arrived, she was unable to remain quiet. She said...
What do you even do? Like, I mean, wouldn't investigators just get up and leave the room?
They don't have to. If they basically haven't... Once you ask for a lawyer and they don't ask you any more questions, but you keep talking, that's on you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. As long as they don't ask you questions... Now, there is a little trick they can do if there's more than one cop in the room. Like, one of they can say, like, all right, I will stop asking you questions. And then the second one can say something, and you get to sort of remind the second one that you're not talking without your lawyer. There's a couple little loopholes that they can use. But if you just keep talking, that's on you. Recorded on this police video, she just started murmuring shit like, I was so out of it. It was like, it's in self-defense, but I killed him, and you can come to the scene. I was raised really, really Christian, and murder is a sin. And literally like that, she just kept talking and talking and talking. As she rambled, she told police a different story than what she had told the dispatcher on 911, claiming first that she had wrestled the gun away from Ryan, but then later she said she'd picked it up off the table. She made statements that could be considered inappropriate under the circumstances, such as, I don't know if anyone will ever want to marry me if they know that I killed a boyfriend in self-defense.
That's insane.
It gets even better. She continues, saying, I think that's when I shot him, in the head. I shot him probably 6 times, shot him in the head. He fell to the ground. He was twitching some more. I shot him a couple more times just to make sure he was dead because I didn't want to watch him die. And then she added, I knew he was going to die and have a completely deformed face. He's very vain and wants to get a nose job. Just that kind of person. And I shot him right there. I gave him the nose job he always wanted.
I'm sitting here with my jaw just to the floor. That, oh my God.
Yeah, this is literally her interrogation video. So, after being left in the room, alone in the interrogation room for several hours, Shayna began pacing and dancing around the room. She started singing Amazing Grace. And she also said out loud, I did it. Yes, I did it. I can't believe I did that. And I'm so good at acting.
Oh my God, the stupidity on this one.
Yeah, she's something else. So Shayna Hubers was arrested for murder and held on a $5 million bond.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Hubers was indicted for Ryan's murder on December 20th, 2012. On January 16th of 2013, she entered a plea of not guilty to the murder charges. 2.5 years later, her murder trial began. April of 2015.
Why?
You got me. I didn't really dig too deep. I'm guessing they had to collect evidence and defense and prosecutors had to figure out what their arguments were going to be. Yeah. She had remained in the Campbell County Jail since her arrest, unable to make that $5 million bail. Prosecutors argued that the motive for the murder was that Ryan wanted to permanently end their relationship. The defense attorneys continued with the contention that the shooting was in self-defense and that Hubers was the victim of domestic abuse. As part of their case, the prosecution led by Michelle Snodgrass put on text message evidence that showed Hubers' obsession with Ryan. Several witnesses, including Ryan's family, the model, Audrey Bolt, and Hubers' former cellmate, testified for the prosecution. Carissa Carlisle, Ryan's cousin, which was the one they met each other through, she testified that her cousin was trying to avoid conflict with Hubers, and then she read a series of text messages that she had exchanged with Ryan prior to his death. Ryan's stepfather, Peter Carter, testified that the day before he was killed, Ryan confided in him about the upcoming date with Bolt, and that he was afraid to tell Shayna Hubers about it.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah, exactly. Bolt, the model, stated that on the night of the murder, she and Ryan planned to meet at a Milford, Ohio bar for drinks at 9:30, and that she had been looking forward to it, but obviously he failed to show up. Hubers' former cellmate, Cicely Miller, also testified, where she said that Hubers bragged about killing her boyfriend, saying that she laughed about shooting Ryan in the face and giving him the nose job that he always wanted. Apparently this bitch thinks it's funny.
She's giving off like Harley Quinn vibes here, where she's just like out of her mind laughing. And
you know, I didn't even compare her to Harley Quinn until you just said it, and you're right. Once she did it, she was very much like Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Huh. Rock on. Okay. So Miller also stated that Hubers discussed legal strategy with her, saying that she, quote, going to plead the insanity defense, but she was too smart because she had the IQ of Einstein. So she was instead going to plead the battered wife syndrome, unquote. So basically she can't do insanity because she's too smart.
Right. She's just going to pull every card she possibly can and see which one sticks.
Right. Which again, Harley Quinn.
Yep.
So Hubers did not take the stand in her own defense, but relied on her police interrogation tape in which she maintained the killing was in self-defense.
That was not a good thing to do at all.
I know, right? What were her lawyers doing? So on April 23rd, 2015, after 5 hours of jury deliberation, Hubers was found guilty of Ryan's murder. Following the verdict, the jury recommended a 40-year prison sentence.
That's it?
40 years is still a long time. Well, some of these murderers only get 25.
Right, true. I don't know, I was expecting something a little bit more drastic.
Yeah, we're used to hearing life sentences a lot, but yeah, 40 is still a lot. Although she's only like 25, she could get out when she's in her 60s.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you gotta look at the age of the person going in there and being like, okay, what age are they when they have the possibility of getting out?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. So Huber's attorney argued for a new trial, stating that they were not allowed to present evidence and witnesses that would have shown Huber's killed Ryan in self-defense. Her attorneys also asked the judge to recognize Huber's as the victim of domestic violence, which would reduce the amount of time that would be, she would be required to serve before eligibility for parole.
Please tell me all that was denied.
Under state law, Huber's would be required to serve 85% or 34 years of her term before becoming eligible for parole, but her attorney's motion would require her to only serve 20% of her sentence before she could be released. 4 months after being convicted, Huber's was sentenced to 40 years in prison with the eligibility of parole after 20 years per the jury's recommendation.
Wow.
So she got hit with 50% of her time. The presiding judge also declared that he did not believe that Huber's was a victim of domestic violence and that he had considered a greater sentence beyond the 40 years. So he thought about giving her life or longer.
Wow.
Following her sentence, Huber's moved for a new trial, and it was granted.
What?
Yeah. On August 25th, 2016, basically they overturned her conviction on the basis that one of her jurors, this is fucked up, one of her jurors concealed the fact that they had a felony conviction.
No way. Yeah. Holy crud. Talk about technicalities.
This is fucked up. Yeah. So Kentucky law prohibits convicted felons from serving on juries. So Huber's new trial was set to begin on September 18th, 2017, but was delayed for 4 more months and didn't start until January 16th, 2018. 6 years.
Let's just drag it out more and more and more and more and more for no reason.
So Huber's new out-of-state attorney asked for and was granted a following six-month delay to allow him to prepare for the retrial.
You shitting me.
You asked for it, man. You said let's keep dragging it out. So her second trial was scheduled to begin on August 8th of 2018. In her second trial, she gave lurid details of her sexual relationship with Ryan. The defense built its case around the assertion that Ryan was an abusive boyfriend. And again, after 5 hours of deliberation, the jury found Huber's guilty of murder. She was sentenced to...
Drum roll, please.
Life imprisonment with the possibility of parole.
After...
Huber's will have to serve 17 years before she can be considered for parole in 2032.
Wow.
Because you got to consider she's already spent 6 years in prison.
Yeah.
She is incarcerated at the Kentucky Correctional Institute for Women in Piwee Valley, Kentucky. I kid you not.
That really?
Well, it might be Pewee, P-E-W-E-E. I don't know
if that makes it any better.
Yeah. So on June 7th, 2018, Huber's married someone named Unique Taylor... In a 2-minute jailhouse ceremony at the Campbell County Jail.
Oh my God.
Taylor is a transgender woman.
Okay. All right.
Unique spent more than a decade in prison. They would divorce within a year. The divorce filing states that Unique Taylor now lives in Arizona and is a tattoo artist. And their divorce was finalized in March of 2019. Huber's told the judge that she had not spoken to her spouse since January of that year and filed for a divorce a few days later. The judge agreed that Huber's life sentence meant the marriage was irretrievable, which exactly, but she could be eligible for parole in 2032, as we said, which is really not that far from now. 8 years can go by in a blink.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Now, what do you think? Do you think she's going to get released?
She'll fight like hell, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think if maybe if she could potentially abandon the argument she's been making, maybe, but I think she's going to have to kind of show remorse and kind of say, kind of take responsibility. If she can do that between now and then in 8 years, I think maybe, but I don't think they're going to let her out if she doesn't do that.
And I think that'll take a lot for her to do. I don't think that she's going to be able to do it for a while, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to say. I did write her a letter hoping to get her to kind of do an interview with us, but never heard from her. So.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I just, you know, I figured why not? Let's give it a shot. But I never heard back from her. But hey, those kind of things happen. So, yeah, and that's it. That is the case of Shayna Hubers.
Wow.
Crazy. Killer girlfriends, man. Fuck that. Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. I am Janice Dead.
I'm Jameson Dead.
And we'll see you next week.